Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Janet Keller. We've been talking about Janet's book, well, her series of books, about Detective Thaddeus Lewis. So, Janet, tell us a little bit about the background for your newest book in the series, Wishful Seeing.
Okay, it takes place in 1853, which is right smack dab in the middle of when the Cobourg to Peterborough Railway was being built. And it is set in Cobourg. And Thaddeus has come here. He's gone back to preaching after taking a little bit of a break. And he has been posted to the Hope Circuit, which at that time consisted of sort of part of Hope Township and Haldimand and Hamilton and generally this area. So I plunked him down in Cobourg. And a body is discovered on Spook Island in Rice Lake. Uh-huh. And Thaddeus sets off from there to discover what's going on because he kind of has the hots for a woman that he saw at a camp meeting.
Naughty Thaddeus.
Naughty, naughty Thaddeus. Well, his wife has died. His wife has been dead for 6 years. I figured it was time he had a love interest.
Yeah, actually, that's really neat. Because you don't tend to think of the itinerant preachers as putting down roots of any kind, having relationships, because they were always on the move.
Oh, they always had families. In fact, they were encouraged to marry and have families because the church felt that that gave them more stability.
Yeah, I think they were right. It's just not something I kind of thought of when I think of them. Yeah.
Well, certainly sex is not something you usually think of. But, you know, sooner or later, you kind of have to confront it, don't you?
Yeah. Now, you've obviously done a great deal of research.
Yes.
In order to write the story. Did you find any surprises?
Well, one of the things that was fascinating to me, because in Wishful Seeing, we do get into a trial scene, and it was how different the judicial system was at that time. For example, if you were accused of a crime, you would not be allowed to take the stand in your own defense.
Huh.
So if you didn't have, you know, somebody who could vouch for your whereabouts, then you were in deep trouble because you were not allowed to take the stand and say, no, I was here.
Wow.
This was also just prior to the institution of crown attorneys in Ontario. And so what frequently would happen is either the victim or the victim's families might very well hire their own barrister in order to prosecute the case, which is completely different, of course, than the way it is now. So there were some real surprises there for me.
And were you working from an actual trial, or is this a fictional trial?
No, this is a fictional trial in the book. But one source that I found really, really useful was a book called The Legere Murder, which took place in Prince Edward County, and it was dissected by Robert J. Sharp, who is a judge. And he beautifully describes, the Legere Murder is in 1884, but he beautifully describes how it was before that, what it was like at that time, and what it subsequently sort of evolved into. And it was just so useful because trying to thread my way through all of that by myself, because I'm not a lawyer, would have been just, I probably would have ended up not writing the trial scene.
And how did you find a thing like that?
Actually, Robert J. Sharp is from Prince Edward County, and I know his mom and dad, and my mother used to play bridge with his mother, and, you know, it was one of those things.
Yeah, well, it's obviously meant to be, right?
Obviously.
So, in a series, how do you keep your characters fresh?
I think I have an advantage because I'm moving Thaddeus along in time as we go. And so he begins, he has this wonderful relationship with his wife. She gets sick, so he gives up preaching for a while. She dies. His son comes along, kind of pulls him out of that. He goes back to preaching, you know, and then as I say, he's got, you know, this little bit of a love interest in Wishful Seeing. So because he's aging and his circumstances are changing as we go along, that keeps him fresh because he's confronting a lot of the issues that we all confront as we grow older, you know, relationships with children, you know, the aging process, that, all that kind of stuff.
So how old is Thaddeus in your book?
In Wishful Seeing, he's about 59.
Oh, okay.
So he's an interesting getting age. Along. Very interesting age. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
There's lots of life experience and, you know, really set in his principles.
Absolutely. Yeah. But because he's such a thoughtful character, he's constantly questioning those, which mm-hmm. really makes him quite wonderful.
Oh, very nice. Can we get you maybe to read us a little bit more, perhaps this time from Wishful Seeing?
Yes, I actually would like to read a little bit of the trial.
Okay.
That takes, since we are sitting on Courthouse Road.
That's right.
And the courthouse at that time would have been right, you know, kind of over there.
Yeah.
I really found it intriguing to go for one of the trial scenes. So, Thaddeus has found a young barrister who's wanting to make a name for himself, who will plead the case for the defense for free. And his name is Townsend Ashby, and he is the one who is doing the questioning in this bit. Chief Constable Spencer was sworn in next. He confirmed Constable Miller's description of the circumstances in which Paul Sherman's body had been discovered and described the investigations that had led him to the Howells. "And what did you discover when you arrived at the Howell farm?" the prosecutor asked. "We discovered a washtub in the woodshed back of the kitchen, full of soapy water. In the tub was a blue dress. The dress had obviously been set to soak, but it hadn't soaked long enough. When we fished it out, there was still a dark stain on the skirt." "And in your opinion, what could have made this stain?" the prosecutor asked. "In my opinion, it's likely a blood stain." At this point, the clerk held up the dress. The stain was still dark against the blue background, the small flowers blotted out across a section of the skirt. A murmur ran through the crowd. They had read all about the blood-stained dress in the newspapers, but this was the first time that any of them had seen it. When the constable completed his testimony, it was Ashby's turn to question. He rose, stopped in thought for a moment, took a long look at the jury, then turned to the witness. "Do you do your own laundry, Mr. Spencer?" The constable chuckled a little. "No, of course not. My wife does the laundry." "And do you assist her?" "No." "And yet you stated that the dress you discovered at the Howell farm had been, how did you put it, set to soak?" "Yes." Spencer was alert now. He had enough court experience to understand that Ashby might be headed in a dangerous direction. "How do you know this?" "Because I don't know how many times I've come home with my clothes in a state and my wife has sighed and said, 'Oh, give me that, I'll set it to soak.'" A ripple of laughter swept through the crowd. "I see," Ashby said with apparent great interest. "And do you often come home covered in blood?" "I wouldn't say often, but it's happened a few times." "And on those occasions, your wife has, as you said, set your clothes to soak?"
"Yes."
"As fascinating as we find the subject of Mr. Spencer's laundry," Justice Stevens interjected, "I'm wondering if there was any particular point you were trying to get to, Mr. Ashby." "I beg the court's indulgence. I shall arrive at the point shortly." Ashby turned once again to the witness. "Well, Mr. Spencer, since you've stated that you don't, in fact, assist your wife with the laundry, is it correct to say that you have never examined your soiled clothes after they've been soaked?" The constable was wary. "Well, I've seen them after they were washed." "But not between the soaking part and the washing part of the process?" "Well, no, I just let the wife get on with it." "So, really, you have no idea what a blood stain, or any stain, really, would look like after it's been soaked in a tub of water for a time?" The constable shifted uncomfortably. "Well, no, I suppose not." "So, in fact, based on no knowledge whatsoever, you concluded that the stain on the blue dress was made by blood?" "It surely looks like a blood stain to me. But it could just as easily be mud or cow manure." There was outright laughter at this. "You really can't say without a shadow of a doubt what caused the stain, can you, Constable Spencer? Because you have no first-hand knowledge of laundry." "Well, when you put it like that, I suppose not, but no further questions. But thank you, Mr. Spencer." And Chief Constable Spencer was left with no choice but to step down.
That's delightful. Many thanks to Janet Keller for introducing us to Thaddeus Lewis, and from reading from both books in the series so far. Where can listeners purchase these books?
Okay, these are available almost everywhere. They're at Chapters, Amazon online. A lot of independent bookstores are carrying them pretty much everywhere you look.
Great. I would like to know, is there another one coming out soon?
I'm hoping. I have finished the next one in the series. And one of the reasons that I read from Sowing Poison today is because a couple of the characters in Sowing Poison are coming back in the next one. So, but I don't have any details yet on
when.
Well,
we'll look forward
like
to
that.
It.
Yes.
And listeners, if you'd like to connect with us, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all these broadcasts archived so that you can listen to them anywhere and at any time. We'd love to hear from you and welcome your comments. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Northumberland 897, Truly Local Radio.